Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and we're going to be talking about a subject I know every single one of you listening can identify with, and that is what we call information overload. What do we do in a world that seems to be spinning at a faster pace? In reality, it isn't, but it just feels that way. How many times have you talked to someone and said, can you believe it's this time of the year? Before we know it, we're going to be 2011. Oh, my God, am I ever going to catch up with everything that I need to do? Well, my guest today, Madeline Blair, has put together a book called Riding the Current, How to Deal with the Daily Deluge of Data. Madeline, you can't really have conquered this. Have you really conquered all of this deluge that we so frequently get? I just finished getting off the computer before coming on air, and I went, oh, my goodness, I've got at least 1,000 things I need to go through, and I haven't done it yet.
Well, hello, Donna, and thank you for inviting me. The answer is there is no way anyone can control the flow that's coming at us. The key is to make it manageable for ourselves and putting in place an approach that fits your particular way of doing things to get it in control. And we've got all kinds of techniques that are presented in my book, and I have even more on my blog. There's lots of ways to do it.
Well, I'm just so glad that is a statement. Just realize this is an ongoing challenge. It is something we're going to be dealing with. And you do have some very good practical points in your book. And you utilize the resources of different people. Now, one statement that you make that applies to every single person, that in today's world, competition demands more of all of us, and that there is a need to have ongoing learning. I think there are individuals that we know that will say, that's it, you know, I'm in 65. I don't need to learn anything else. And all of a sudden you want to rattle their brain and say, excuse me, so what if you're 65? Do you know what's going on in the world? For heaven's sakes, wake up, smell the roses. And it's amazing the mindset of so many people that they think they're just supposed to stop in the road of life and they don't need to do anything else. And they're finding to their surprise they do have to do something else.
Well, you know, there's two things to that in response to what you had to say. First is, if you're still in the workforce, you need to know that 20 years ago, you could keep 80% of the knowledge you needed to do your job in your head. Today, that is now only 8% that you can keep in your head. Now, that doesn't mean we've lost memory capability. It means that so much more is demanded of us. So you've got to stay connected to fresh knowledge. Now, if you're in the retirement place where you're not working anymore and you figure, as you say, I'm 65, why not? Just relax completely. Your mind will also relax. And I say, just keep it going. Keep new, fresh knowledge coming in to keep it active.
Oh, absolutely. I was reviewing some material today about some of the golfers that just were phenomenal individuals that were champions, and they're still going strong, and they're in their 70s, and they are not going to take that kind of an attitude because, one, they don't even look like what somebody would look like 70 years ago. I mean, it just isn't there. And so, but this is a whole different environment that we're in, that whether you are in your teens, in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. I know of people that are in their 90s that are still productive, running businesses, involved with businesses. They have no intention on being out of them.
That's right.
It's incredible, and our longevity keeps expanding. So it's everyone's choice. Now, you also talk in your book about reprogramming behaviors. And this is something that is extremely important. And just think about what we've been discussing with age brackets. Reprogramming a belief system about where you are is very important, realizing that you don't have to be in a particular modality unless you want to stay there. So you bring out a lot of good information. Let's talk about knowledge management. You abbreviate it with KM. What is that?
Oh, gosh, I was hoping you wouldn't ask me that. Donna, it's an area in business that for many years they talked about information management, where we want to put our information in databases and filing and archiving and all that sort of thing. And then we got the brilliant idea that, well, if we can manage our information, we should be able to manage our knowledge. What that really means is providing, making sure, and this is from a company perspective now, an organization perspective, to provide access to the information that's needed, to create an environment that encourages people to share, and then thirdly, depends on individuals within those organizations to wish to share information. So it's access, it's the right environment, and it's a motivation to share information. And that particular topic called knowledge management has consumed organizational thinking for, I would say, the last 15, 20 years as we've grappled with how to do that within organizations. We've never really tackled it at the individual level, and I'm hoping that my book gives the secrets and answers to that particular issue.
I want my audience to know a little bit about your background. You have a PhD in organizational psychology, and you have over 30 years of managerial experience that is behind what you have put together in this book, Riding the Current. You also are an associate of a particular school environment called the Douth, and then the founder and president of Polari, Inc. And you also, in your background, worked at the World Bank, and you, when you left the positioning that you had 10 years later, you said you realized you had learned very little about management or technology. Your environment at the bank had been very, very confined, let me use that word. And by golly, when you had that realization, what did you do about it?
Well, I won't use the word confined there. I would just simply say that they worked you so hard, you had no time to think about anything else. So in a sense, it was a confinement, but in a different way. I'll tell you what I had to do. I looked myself square in the eye and said, look, kid, you've helped all your staff progress during the 10 years you were there. And I had a large staff, and I helped them. Anybody who wanted to be helped, I helped them. And I said, why didn't you do it for yourself? And so I began with because I had just started a company, a consulting firm, and I began immediately to work on ways to build up and make my knowledge more current. Certainly I had tremendous background because by then I had been a manager for 20 years. So there was a lot that I could bring to the table from my own experience. But I had to do major reading. I had to develop for myself a group of colleagues that I could continually talk with so that they would advise me, they could challenge me, they could question me. And it took me probably 2 years before I felt like I was back on top of the game again.
I really like what you say about interacting with colleagues, interacting with people that helped you stay on top of the game. In our world today, I think that it's so important that we have that interaction with others. Now, I like it in person, or I like to be able to do it on the phone, because just doing emails, I find too much misunderstanding occurs, because not a lot of people type well. They don't type out their thoughts well, and you have to, it's sort of like their own particular shorthand. And you go, well, I could take it in this particular positioning of thought or this response, and you say, no, this won't work. I have to pick up the phone and call them. And I really think that that makes that personal connection so important. One of the things that you said that helped you put together a lot of things, too, was that you interviewed people of all ages. You really wanted to find out from the young, the middle-aged, and the elderly, what did they do to keep things up to date for themselves? I mean, they're all in different patternings and different needs and experiences. And you said there was a big secret that they allowed the current to keep them aware of new knowledge, and they steer towards specifics only when necessary. Go into that a little bit.
What I did, and you're absolutely right, I went to all manner of people in all different walks of life, and the youngest was 17, the oldest was 82, so it spanned 65 years. And I interviewed 35 people for the book alone. I continued to interview, but it was 35 for the book. When I asked them the question, how do you stay current, universally they responded to me, I can't stay current, Madeline, but what I can do are these things to bring fresh knowledge into my life all the time. And that's why the book is called Riding the Current, because you only ride it. You can't control it. You've got to ride it, and you're constantly dipping in a consistent way, so that you're aware. And of course, at some point, you might say, okay, I'm ready to dive deep, and you dive deep. But that's a different, later on. The key is that they gave me all manner of strategies that they used, and I try to reflect that in the book. And one of them, going back to your point about conversation, most of them, talked about colleagues that they, and friends that they used on a consistent basis to help them stay bringing fresh knowledge to them.
Mm-hmm. I think it's so important. I really do. I think also it's important for us to be okay with certain limitations we may have. There's no, like you said earlier, there is no way we're going to know everything. It's just not, it never has been possible. But in our world of technology today, we've got so many venues. I mean, heck, if you walk through New York City, you can have 10 gazillion pieces of information flashing in front of you just from their billboards that you go, oh, I didn't know about that. What about that? Okay, we'll check this out. I mean, that can happen within 3 minutes. All you have to do is walk three blocks.
It's interesting. As a species, we've had lots of information coming at us all the time. Now I think we're just more aware of it because it's flashing at us, it's coming at us through our computer screens, it's simply available to us. I mean, my goodness, the fact that we can just go into the internet and search on anything gives us a sense that, gosh, it's all right there at our fingertips. Why can't I absorb it all? And it just means that it's there, that's all. It's a different awareness today.
Mm-hmm. It really is. And I think that's where some confusion comes in, because there is so much that someone sits there and goes, I just don't know what to do. I have all of these different things. It's sort of like going on a diet. We've got 550 billion diets in this world that somebody will recommend. But what's going to work for me?
So
same thing goes with learning.
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, I did a workshop recently, and there was a woman there who runs a company up in the New York area, speaking of New York, and she left the workshop and spent the entire train ride going home working on her sources of data. And she said, Madeline, you said something in that workshop, which was, you just have to be ready to say no. And she said, I went through all of the sources of information that I go to regularly, and I checked off the ones that were the really good ones. She said, by the time I got home, that list had been reduced by half, and she said, today I get more information from just half of the original list than I ever got from trying to touch all of them.
You have just touched a button with me, and I'm sure with some of our listeners, and that is to say no. It is one of the most difficult things, not so much, it doesn't seem like it's so much of a difficulty with men, but I think women especially have a challenge with that, because we're supposed to be superstars, or, you know, we can do everything. Well, that's a lie. And we have to know how to say no. let's go into that for a bit, because your example was wonderful, and I just compliment that woman because she utilized the time when she didn't have any interruptions, just the clipper clap of, you know, being on the train going home, and she could do this. This is a great exercise. Let's go into this a little bit more.
Okay. There's two pieces to this. Remember, she was talking about the sources of information that were
mm-hmm.
coming at her. But the previous thing that she had to decide was, what are the topics that are really important to me? When I work with people, individuals, and I coach them on this as well as the book and workshops, when I coach them, this is the question that takes them the longest to deal with. What are the areas that are the most important to you in your work and even in your personal life? So I know for me, it took me about a month of thinking about it and finally honing it down to the six areas that for me were really important for my business and for my marriage. For
mm-hmm.
example, on my list is ballroom dancing, because it's a wonderful way in which my husband and I enjoy being together. And so that's on my list. But you have to make that choice first in terms of topic, and then secondly, you continue that process and look for the good sources that are coming at you. And Taylor did it perfectly.
Mm-hmm. I just think that's marvelous. Now, let's talk about our network, using a common term, of colleagues that we choose to interact with. This is something that I think can be a little frustrating to people, because sometimes they'll say, well, I have someone I know, but they're so far away. Well, all I'd say to that is pick up the phone. But what would you recommend as tips for people to determine those individuals that they want as their accompaniers?
An accompanier, as I define it in the book, is somebody who has the bigger picture. Someone who perhaps knows where you work or knows the area that you're in your industry and sees it from a higher plane, sees a wider view, so that they can bring to you those perspectives. And if they don't have that perspective, then they can't be, it doesn't make sense to be using that person. Now, I also recommend doing a practice partner, which is a little bit different than an accompanier. That's the person who simply asks wonderful questions. And they'd have to be interested in you. In fact, both the accompanier and the practice partner got to be interested in you. And you can assess that. I mean, we're really good at that as human beings. We really understand when people are interested in us personally. So you've got to make that link. But then this practice partner, they're just great at asking questions, because what they're helping you do is understand what you know and the assumptions behind what you know, because one of the greatest barriers to learning are our assumptions. And once those are revealed, then we can say, okay, that's either true or not true. I can cast it away or I can keep it. But until you know it, it can hold you up. So those are some things. I'd look for people who are interested in your well-being, who are can bring you either a wider view or ask great questions.
You have a story in your book about a woman named Kathy. And she really wanted to become an attorney, and she passed her bar exam on the first try, and the way she studied was quite interesting. And I'd love you to share that story, because she just did an amazing job here. And someone would say, well, she had a photographic memory, but that wasn't the case. Tell us how she was able to get past the mentality of typical studying.
Okay. I love Kathy Clark's story. Kathy Clark got her law degree at the age of 39. And getting ready for the bar is, as you probably know, a very serious activity. When you get ready for it, you go to special classes that go on for weeks at a time, hours every day. And Kathy made the choice that when she stepped into that class, she said to herself, I'm not going to take any notes, because I just finished law school, so I know the law, but I'm going to use that time to just listen deeply. And you're right, she passed her bar exam on the first try. As she and I talked about it, she said it did a couple of things for me, Madeline. One, it allowed me to hear very carefully and really listen. And secondly, instead of spending my time going through my notes and checking and all that, she said, I used that time to reflect on what I had heard. I used that time to think up scenarios in the law that would relate to what they were talking about. And, of course, a bar exam is all about scenarios. So she was very well prepared. And interestingly enough, it worked so well for her that today she says, when I go to conferences, I don't take any notes anymore either.
Amazing. It's a whole different approach.
It is.
And I think that it is something that doesn't have, you don't have to have a superior memory. It was the interest area that she had in her subject matter.
Absolutely.
And
she had a framework.
Mm-hmm.
And she knew the law.
Mm-hmm. She had already, like she said, she had already gone through a lot of basic training. Now let's go through some of the steps here, because this can be applied, not necessarily what she did, but there are certain things that can be applied here. Let's go for a goal. And you make the statement, you should state a goal to yourself that you want to remain open to possibilities. Now, right there, that is a very expansive positioning of thinking, being open to possibilities and not fencing yourself in.
You know, so all, and it goes back to that assumption. You know, if you have, well, let me not digress. Your question was around this focus of help me, Donna. The word just went out.
The goal.
The goal.
Focus on
Thank
the goal.
You. What I find is if people don't have a sense of where they're going, then it's very hard for them to make decisions around that. You've got to just in your life have a sense of where you want to go. You're almost rudderless on a boat.
Mm-hmm. And you make a comment that I think is a very good one. You say you need to be aware that when you really have a goal, when you really have an interest in something, however this is oriented, there is that feeling inside of you as if this is your calling, and you have to stay true to it, whatever it might be. It could be raising money for a church. It could be building a new career. It could be making some changes in a business. It could be anything. And I liked what you said in your book. You said, you may become so passionate about your area that nothing will satisfy you but to dive deeper and deeper into its unknown.
Mm-hmm.
And in responding to a challenge by stepping beyond or deeply into the field, there must always be a lifeline, a large, solid foundation of knowledge already obtained from which you can reach out and relate new knowledge that is being discovered and drawn in. And I think those words are very powerful, because I have seen so many people who maybe they've got all of this wonderful experience behind them, they've gone through education, and suddenly they have lost touch with themselves and with what you call the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
And then they become scared because they have sort of gotten stuck in the peanut butter of their own thinking, and they just don't know how to get to slather on a little jelly, wiggle the way out of it, and be on the road to growth and development. And it really is tough. It really is tough. But when you can make it exciting and realize that it's part of the process, it is something that is very liberating. And you give so many good suggestions in your book that I think people can, with a highlighter, just like I did, they can go through section by section, and you have a question that you ask people, and usually you ask them three times this question.
Mm-hmm.
What is that question?
What do you want to accomplish?
Why do you ask it three times?
Because generally when I ask that question the first time, And this example that I talk about in the book is with people who are world-renowned in their areas, and they're trying to get their message across to people. And I coach them in that process, and I say to them, what do you want to accomplish? And they'll often tell me, well, and they'll start telling me the content of their talk. And I'll say, no, what do you want to accomplish? And then they may try something else. And then by the third time, they realize, oh, she's talking about my intentions. And then they begin to tell me, okay, I want people to use my model. I don't want anybody to leave the room while I'm talking. Whatever that is, that's the deep thing. That is their real intention when they go out to say their message. And that's what I use when I'm coaching with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I also wanted to pick up on another thing that you talked about, Donna. The lifeline that I spoke of when you dive deep.
Mm-hmm.
I interviewed, as I said, 35 people, and I would say of the 35, there were about 5 of them who had that capacity to simply jump off the boat, dive down. It just didn't matter where it was. They were confident to go after whatever they were going after. And I often call it jumping into the white space. They tended to be people which had exactly what you talked about, a deep base of knowledge that gave them a foundation on which to assess the new knowledge they were discovering in this jumping.
Mm-hmm.
They also had a sense of self. They knew who they were. And your point about people forgetting who they are, that's tragic, because then you don't have the confidence that you need when you're in those places that where things are kind of ambiguous for a while until you sort it out. I advise people to be simply aware of that, because sometimes you can feel lost. Well, if you are, then jump back to the place where you're comfortable, get your sea legs again, and then try again.
There are so many environments that we have an opportunity to be involved with, and I'm so grateful that there are. I love the diversity, because most of them I'm not interested in, but I love learning about them from other people because they are. And it empowers me, because of my show, to be able to share that information with my listeners, because who knows, somebody out there may want to pick up on whatever groups or organizations might be able to offer some insights and information. Stepping into the climate, you use that terminology,
mm-hmm.
and you talked about a woman by the name of Elaine and her particular journey. She stepped into a climate, and what was her feelings? She just had this wonderful way of expressing herself.
Elaine is a marvelous person. She's a minister in the Unitarian Universalist Church, and she wanted to learn about the culture of Central America. And she knew her own style of learning was, hey, I got to immerse myself. And so she volunteered to go on a caravan that would deliver things in Central America. And so she got down there, stepped out of the truck, and she said, there I was, Madeline. I was in the culture that I wanted to learn about. I was completely immersed. And she said at one point, she said, I realized that I had become a part of that culture. And she said, at that point, I knew I had learned something. Of course, she's back here in the States now, but she never forgot that experience.
Well, I know we're just about out of time here. Your book holds so many golden nuggets. And it's the type of book, for those of you listening, the book Riding the Current by Madeline Blair, it's the type of book that when you're reading it, I encourage you to have my favorite color, a yellow highlighter, because you want to be able to pull out those golden nuggets that really touch your mind. And it's the type of book that you go back to again and again, because you're going to say, well, I might be able to use this right now, and maybe another portion you can't integrate. But Madeline has done a wonderful job of being able to pull together a lot of different perspectives so that you have something to work with in a very practical way. and it's in a very compact package. Now, Madeline, you have two websites. You have one, the Pelerei, P-E-L-E-R-E-I.com, also RidingTheCurrent.com. What are they going to find when they go to these websites?
Well, when they go to the Pelerei.com one, they'll learn about my company, and there'll be some things about the book there as well, but they'll also learn about me. The alternative one, the RidingTheCurrent.com, is a blog space where I continue interviewing people on exactly this subject. So you'll see interview after interview. Plus, there's some recordings that I've done of these kinds of interviews. Plus, I occasionally refer to a great article. But it's my blog space on how to keep riding the current. And in fact, the current, most recent blog in there is an interview of Donna Sebo and how she keeps herself.
Goodness. Yes, yes, yes. We did that interview a short time ago, and thank you for making that announcement. That's very, very nice of you. And I think you'll find our conversation quite interesting. So go to either one of her sites, Pelerei, P-E-L-E-R-E-I.com, or RidingTheCurrent.com. We live in a world where we need to know how we can incorporate tools to deal with the massive amount of information that comes our way. How do we say no to what is best for us and what is worst for us, and how do we say yes to what is best for us? Well, Madeline Blair's book, Riding the Current, will be able to do exactly that for you. Wonderful tool. Why not add it to your library? Madeline, thank you so much for being my guest today, and continued success in all your endeavors.
Thank you so much, Donna.
This is Donna Sebo. We are taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are open today, 888-815-9756 is the telephone number you want to call into. If you would like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, again, 888-815-9756. 9756. Wow, you heard the ad regarding the Washington Midsummer Renaissance Fair. Well, this is the last week, and I'm so excited because if you go to their website, you'll find the latest newsletter that went out is showing all of these pictures of people in masks. Well, the theme is the masquerade, and you can bring masks, and oh, we have some marvelous, marvelous artisans that create masks. There's one gal, she does her masks all in feathers, and they are just incredibly beautiful. And there's another person that does what you'd call the Venetian type of masks that the Italians are so well known for, and they are just breathtakingly gorgeous. And the Queen's Court and so many other people that are participating in this wonderful event, this is the last weekend, will be wearing their masks. So come out in costume, whatever it is. Look for my booth. It has, I'm on the first main street right there at the fair, and it will be to your right as you pass the food court. Come on down, and I have large yellow banners with gigantic red lions on them. And I know we've got someone on the phone, so I'm going to be with you in just a moment. But I also want to mention, come by, say hello. I'm also doing readings there, and I'll have an abundance of books. But, oh, it's just such a fabulous event. So go to their website, the Washington Midsummer Renaissance Fair, and check out the details if you're in the state of Washington, because I know you will just have a fabulous time, totally family-oriented. Well, let's go to our first caller for the day. Welcome to the show, first name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Lori. I'm calling from California.
Hi, Lori. Where are you in California?
Hi. Palo Alto.
Palo Alto, beautiful area. All right, Lori, let's get down to business with you. I really think that you've got some hard work ahead of you, but I want you to just roll up your shirt sleeves and, you know, put that bite piece in the mouth and just say, okay, I'm ready, because what I've got here is like an image of someone that is in boot camp for football, and you're just in there, and you're going to be just practicing and doing whatever you have to do, because you're going to have to get ready for the game of action. Now, the game of action, whatever it is going to be, and football is being used as a symbology, but I look at this and it's with purpose, because you need to be aware that you have to think, you have to process information carefully, you're going to have to deal with details, and you're going to have to deal with a response patterning that's quick. You're not going to be able to just go, excuse me, I know I'm supposed to kick the football, but gee whiz. I want to take a break here for about an hour and a half and think it through, because I don't know whether I want to kick it to the right, or I don't know if I want to kick it to the left. I would say, forget that stuff. Just like in the game, this game, you're going to have to be prepared to kick that ball, and so you have to practice, 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 practice. It's not unlike a musician entering into competition. You have to practice, 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 and you need to have perhaps someone to assist you to be able to critique things so that you don't develop the wrong kind of patterning of habit. So that when it's time for you to make the play, to kick the football of action through the field goal, you want to know that you're just going to be on automatic. You're just going to do it. And you're going to hit the, you know, do what you need to do, and you're going to make your point. So that sounds a little melodramatic, but I know how discouraging it can be at times when you just say, I've done this so many times. Why do I have to go through this again? I'm so weary of the repetition. There's a reason for it. And you want to look at things, and you want to get maybe some feedback from someone you know and respect and trust, and say to them, I've got to stay on course, I have to stay focused, and I've got to continually do what I have to do to reach the goal, the objective that I want to meet. And this is going to be very important, because if you get sidetracked during the next few months, because other people will say, oh, that's not so important. Oh, gee whiz, you can do that in your sleep. Wait a minute. You have to be focused and disciplined. So The small stuff, the detail stuff, everything is significant. You have to stay focused. You're doing things for yourself, not for somebody else. And it's very important. This is the time. This is when you're refining your skills. This is when you are preparing yourself for a major shift that's going to be occurring by 2012, and it may well come into play in 2011. But it's not going to happen right now. So I want you to just be very alert. I want you to be aware, and I want you to assume nothing. Am I making any sense to you?
Okay. Well, my question was about my relationship. My fiancé and I are engaged, and we haven't picked a date yet, and we're in the planning of whether to do something simple or more formal. So I was...
Okay, this is not related to that.
Okay.
This is not related to that. This is related to something else much bigger. Relative to making the decision, you two need to ask yourself, what is it that you have to take care of? For example, let's say you were in college and you needed to finish your degree. Then,
right.
Then maybe that would be a focus. You'd say, well, let's wait until I finish my degree so that you keep your focus where it's supposed to be. The choice is yours, but I'm just using that as an example. Relative to the
right.
two of you making this decision, I don't think it's a big one. I think you just need to determine when you're going to be able to get everybody together. It's not going to be a huge wedding, but it's do you want very many people there, or do you just want to get married and then have a big reception at a later date that works for both of you with
right.
both families? And that's something I've known a lot of couples do because their schedules are so hectic, and they might have sizable families, and they just say, I really want to have a nice, intimate wedding, and this is what I want, and I don't want to slight anybody, but then we'll plan a reception when it's convenient, where everybody can get together, well, we'll have nice weather, and everybody will party.
That sounds nice.
I think sometimes that works out best. We live in a much different world. Not everybody's going to be able to have a June wedding or what have you. And, some people just like that small, intimate feel, and they want that, but they do want to bring all the people they love and they care about
right.
into
yeah.
this wonderful celebration of this happy event. And it really can be done beautifully. And then you can enlist friends to help you with it. And I just think it's your choice, whatever you want to do.
Okay.
So just be comfortable with whatever fits with both of you.
Okay. That sounds great.
That won't be the last
one. The other piece is related to something totally different.
Absolutely. Much, much different.
Okay.
Much, much different. And I want to thank you for
okay.
your call.
Yeah, thank you.
And congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank
You're more
you.
Than welcome, my dear. You have a good day now.
You too.
This is Donna Sebo, and I want to say the phone line is open today if you'd like to call in and chat with me, 888-815-9756. Oh, and I know we are going to be giving out, I'm going to be giving you out some information about my guest next week, but let's go to our next caller, and I want to welcome you to the show.
Hi.
Hi, dear. What's your first name or initial, and where are you calling from?
My name is Melanie, and I'm calling from Toronto, Canada.
From Toronto. Oh, welcome, welcome, welcome. Okay, Melanie, what I'm looking at with you is a combination of things. The first word that is coming to me is discipline, and then I had a combination of that word in front of me, and then I was seeing you doing some writing. So
yeah.
There is a composition that I'm watching you put together, and I think you get a little bit frustrated because you have so many interruptions. And what,
yeah.
boy, can I relate to that? What I would say is you're going to need to make a determination to have the private time that you want to focus on whatever this is that you are putting together. You may
okay.
choose to go to a local library. Or you may decide that you let everybody that you know that you're going to be gone for so many hours a day And that everybody's going to have to fend for themselves because you're doing this because you must get this work done. I have a friend who goes to a local coffee place. And he said it's noisy as blazes, but he doesn't mind it. He puts on his headphones and he's just sitting there typing away. But he said nobody interrupts him. There's
yeah.
noise, which doesn't bother him, but nobody interrupts him. I have found
yeah.
I go to a local library, and if I'm there, I can be there for 3 hours. It feels like 10 minutes, and I'm going, uh-oh, you know, my
yeah.
schedule will only allow me so much time. But that's what you're going to need to do. You're going to
yeah.
need to make your choice and stick to it. Also, I'm wanting you to be very careful when you're driving. I want you to have your car winterized. And when I say that, I mean having it thoroughly checked for the winter months. I'm looking at one tire, and I think it's the left rear. When you're sitting in a driver's seat, it would be the driver's side rear wheel. And I'm looking at this, and I don't like the way it's moving. So I don't know if it doesn't have the right pressure to it, if the wheel alignment is out of whack. But I want you to have the car checked because there's going to be some pretty significant cold weather hitting Toronto this year. So you want to be sure that that car is in good shape. Don't wait until the last minute to do it. And, yes, I know money's going to be a little tight for you, hon, but you're going to do just great. Now, I have to take a break. Will you stay with me?
Sure.
Wonderful. And then we'll take your question when we come back. This is Donna Sebo, 888-815-9756. We'll be right back.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Welcome, my lords and ladies, to the Washington Midsummer Renaissance Fair, located at Maris Farms in Buckley, Washington. For 3 weekends in August, starting August 7th and 8th, we will transport you back to the days of old, where magic and merriment reign. Come see the multitude of musicians, dancers, jugglers, gypsies, peasants, nobles, pirates, and prestidigitation. That's magic for you commoners. Learn to swing a sword or shoot a bow and be knighted by Her Majesty the Queen. Hold your breath as jousters wheel their mounts around to engage in full contact combat on the field of battle. Sign on to sail the seas with scurvy pirates or sit down with friends and family for turkey legs and a fine brewed ale. Delights abound for the young and old at the Washington Midsummer Renaissance Fair, so come one and all starting August 7th and 8th for fun and excitement, and may your day be fair. For tickets and info, go to www.washingtonfair.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Don't forget, I'm going to be at the Ren Fair in Buckley, Washington at the Maris Farm. Go and check out the website. This is the last weekend. I'll be doing many sessions there. This is the last weekend. Check out Washington Midsummer Renaissance Fair.com. And don't forget to put the E on the end of fair. Remember, this is Renaissance. Let's go back to Melanie. Melanie, thank you for waiting so long. I want to say that you can ask your question now, whatever you'd like to inquire about.
Well, what I'd like to know, Donna, is if I'm moving in the right direction.
Well, you're not lost if that's what you're concerned with. What is it that's causing this concern, dear? Because you're doing fine. You're living life. You're not on a wrong path. What is it that is concerning you?
Well, I have an opportunity to go and do some public speaking, and I'm a little concerned about that because I've always been nervous about public speaking, and there's a part of me that keeps thinking, no, I shouldn't be doing this. You know, I should just, you know, stay where I'm at, and, you know, everything's just fine. Don't rock the boat.
Oh, that's ridiculous. I think the speaking is wonderful. What are they going to ask you to talk about?
Well, they probably would ask about self-empowerment, you know, self-esteem, what sorts of things can I do to improve self-esteem, that sort of thing.
Well, let me tell you what's going on here. And this is for you. Because The reason these opportunities are coming up is that you're going to have to walk your talk. You are going to be putting yourself in front of others. Could you fall flat on your face? Absolutely. That could be. Could you absolutely wow them with your sincerity and your caring and your knowledge? Yes. Well, what's happening is that there are certain thought patternings that you've had since you were a little girl because of the way people talk to you, and comments that were made by a few teachers and friends, and you need to realize that as an adult woman, this is coming your way so that you can show yourself that you have rewired your attitude.
Yes.
And it will, yes, and what it will show is that your self-esteem is healthy. It is good. One of the lessons I've learned, and it keeps repeating itself, it is always going to go on throughout your life, is that when you become a teacher or when you're asked to share your knowledge with others, you're going to find that you're the student at the same time that you're the teacher. Now, that may be a little bit of a thought for you that you had not considered. But we're and so this is what's happening with you. So when you are giving, when you give your talks, I want you to come from that space of personal experience. Okay. I want you to come from that depth of warmth and sincere caring that you have. Because one of your greatest satisfactions is that when you can turn the light on in somebody else. And boy, can I relate to that. It just is a joy, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, it's so true.
And that is what you will be able to do. You are going to find that if you just are yourself, you'll turn on the light in other people and you'll realize that's what it's all about. It's because of your experience, and you will learn from those in your audience. But have a good time with it. Have a good time with it. Let me share a tip with you that I read about many, 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 many years ago, and it stuck in my mind so vividly. It was about a very famous musician. He was a guitar player, and he said he would just sweat bullets. He would get sick. He just had a terrible time, and he was young. And he said, I just was stage fright victim big time. And what happened one day is that someone told him, this audience that's coming to hear you play, just imagine yourself that you're at the kitchen table, because that's what he used to do. He used to play for his family at the kitchen table. And they said, imagine that you're just sitting at your kitchen table and you're playing to your family, because that's what an audience is. They are an extended family. They're there because they want to hear what you have to say. And he didn't have stage fright after that.
That's very good advice. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. I want to thank you for calling in, Melanie. Have a wonderful, successful time as a speaker.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your advice.
Oh, you're more than welcome. It's my pleasure. That's why I'm here.
Okay.
This is Donna Siebel, and I know we're just about out of time, so I'm not going to be able to take another call. Hey, I've got to tell you who's coming on the show next week. Ooh, we got a great lineup of guests. Finding Center, Strategies to Build Strong Girls and Women, Maureen Mack. What a powerhouse of a publication. Then, 42 Rules for Sourcing and Manufacturing in China. Yes, I know there's been a lot of outsourcing, but business is business. Let's find out what Rosemary Coates has to say about it. Bankruptcy? Have you ever been through it? Are you going through it? Well, if you want to know how to survive and prosper, Leanne Ryan is going to be my guest. And then Voices of Change, Inspiring Information by Kathy Lynn, and then the Survivorship Net, Barb Owens. This is going to be a story that will touch your heart. Believe me, it is wonderful. Fabulous people, fabulous guests, and they're all here to share the best of what they have with you. And I am just so delighted that they're going to be sharing the airwaves. So don't forget, if you need to check to see who's coming up, what the guests are going to be talking about, you can always go into VBSRadio.com, Station 1, go to the Donna Siebel Show, and my guest list will be right there. And if you want to check on past ones, the list is there for you to review, too. Go for it. And don't forget, we archive all of our shows. Somebody sent me an email saying, Donna, are you aware August has 5 Mondays, 5 Tuesdays, and 5 Sundays? It only happens once every 823 years. And she said, you know what? I got a funny feeling I won't be around for the next one. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe she'll come back as a cat. We just don't know. Well, I know we're just about out of time here. There is an awesome weekend that's waiting right in front of you. I want you to enjoy it. I want you to savor every moment because life is for living, not for existing. And above all, be grateful. You've got a lot to be grateful for. And remember, if you are going through challenges, they're there so that maybe one day you're going to be able to pass your wisdom and knowledge along to someone that might be going through struggles of their own. You're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Siebel. Be safe, be happy, and don't forget to share your love and your light with everybody that you meet. We'll be back with you right here, same time, same place on Monday. Donna Siebel here. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.